You can turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll get wired up here. I think I'll get wired up here. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither of spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy you've shown upon us, to all of us here. And God, we ask you to forgive us where we fail you and let you down. Ask you to give us strength. May the word of God go out strongly today. And Lord, may we live a life that brings honor to your name. Hope in any lost soul that's within the sound of my voice may come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I was a missionary in Guatemala, Central America. And when I got there, I lived in the capital city for about 3 months. And then I was deciding, riding all over the country, looking as to where I'd want to live and build a ministry. And I got to the place, the second largest city in Guatemala at the time was Quetzaltenango, or Xelajú, the Indian name. I moved to Xelajú.
Where's that?
I didn't hear you. Okay. Sheila, who's the Indian name of Quetzaltenango? It's the second largest city in Guatemala. Guatemala City is the largest, and Quetzaltenango was the other. It's in a valley that's about 7,800 feet above sea level. You didn't have all the heat we got in San Antonio there. In fact, you could wear a jacket any day you wanted to. And we were right on the side of a volcano called the volcano, I think, Santa Maria. And we climbed it several times. They had great sport in Guatemala. There's 31 volcanoes in Guatemala. They also have a lot of hippies. Some years before I went on the mission field, there was an earthquake in Guatemala, and an awful lot of the hippies went down to help after the earthquake from California. So there is around, they have some lakes that are 4,000 or 5,000 feet above sea level. Crystal clear water, beautiful lakes, mountains all around. And the hippies built them little living places around there. So it was an interesting thing. I'm not a hippie. I never was one. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming again. And I want to talk to you about our gathering together unto him. These are great hope and great joy that are brought to the believer when you understand what the promises of God are in the Bible. And it's an amazing thing. I am a premillennialist. There's a lot of differences in the outlook of different believers, Christians. Premillennial is, I believe, he will come back and get us before he comes again to reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. And that's premillennial. Postmillennial is the church is going to get so good, it's going to convert the world, it's going to get so holy, God will finally come back. And I don't believe that. And then there's the amillennial, meaning none. They don't think Jesus is coming back. They don't think there's going to be a millennial reign. They think that's all of a spiritual type of atmosphere and thinking. And so there was a lot of missionaries. Guatemala has about 28 Indian tribes, and they all speak a different language, and they dress differently and whatever. It's a very interesting place. My wife loved it. She loved the different colors. The different Indian tribes would have different colors that set them apart. And mostly the women dressed up like that. The men didn't dress up very much. But the women dressed up in embroidered stuff. I was so poor I couldn't afford to buy my little girl anything. They cost a lot of money, all that embroidery there. Anyway, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is an interesting subject. And an awful lot of people are looking into it even today. And have been from the days of the apostles. And then I'm gathering together unto him. What's the most beautiful thing about your future? You're going to go to be with Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
You're going to go to heaven. You're going to go to a place where there's no more sin and no more sorrow, no more pain. You're not going to hear about people being robbed or raped or beat up or killed or shot. Sounds like a good place to me.
Amen.
Well, I moved to Quetzaltenango, and there were as other missionaries there. There were there's plenty of room for doing the work, no problem for that. But there were Methodists, there were Presbyterian, there were Southern Baptists, Central American Mission, and Wycliffe, a bunch of them. And they were all mostly young, as I was with my family. I had my three kids, and they were all young. And I was a premillennialist, and so these other young missionaries, we all met. In fact, we got to where we did some things together quite a bit. And they wanted me to teach them the premillennial view in the book of Revelation. And I agreed to it. And so one night a week, several of the missionary family, it'd be four or five, that would be there. And we got a good fellowship with it. And it was an interesting time for me. And for them, they got a pleasure from it. They tell me it is. A lot of interest. There's a lot of division. People still are reading the book of Revelation and not understanding it. And there are plenty of people that are reading their Bibles and they're not understanding them. What you need to do is to get a hold of the Bible and get an opinion and test it out and see what the Bible has to say about it. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the next thing on the scene.
Amen.
That's the next thing on the scene. Praise the Lord. All the other prophecies that I know about are all fulfilled. Except a few I'm going to show you maybe here. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, Paul is saying the day of Christ is at hand. It's there. It's ready. It can be done. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day shall not come. Wait a minute here. When you read the Bible, look at what it says. Don't just read it. Think about what it says. Now, he's giving you some warning here. He's giving you some signs that you can look at. Here's what he said. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Well, that's people going away from the word, not a real revival. That's people having all sorts of troubles in the church and whatever. Falling away first. And there's a second one here in this verse 3. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he Look at this in verse 4. He as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, now where is that temple? Anybody can tell me? It's not there. It was destroyed. Now, there's all sorts of schemes about that. That they've got it set out some ready to build over in Israel and whatever, and then when the right time comes, it just pop, you know, how we build buildings real quick. Something's got to happen. You got two keys. Now, think about the gospel that we preach. Jesus said that they wanted a sign, and Jesus said the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. All right? When you got that sign, and that was the sign that he did, he came out of the grave. They did their best to seal that tomb, but he came out anyway.
Amen.
Is this important? That day shall not come except to come a falling away first. Well, okay. That's a bad time for Christianity lots of times. And there is the time when it's not accepted real well. And then there are people who are dying for their faith right now in the world. They're suffering. They're being persecuted. They're being put in jail just like some of the Christians in the past. And the man of sin be revealed. Now, I remember 20 years ago, maybe, that some guy that said he was Jesus, and he'd come back. He was in England. It hit all the papers. Jesus is in England. Well, it didn't work out that way, and he didn't last very long. But whatever. It says here, this Son of Man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do people believe stupid things? I'm amazed. I've talked to so many people in the last 67 years, 68 almost, and some of them have a real fanciful view. I don't believe a whole lot in ghosts, and I don't believe a whole lot in a lot of spiritual signs and wonders that I've seen. Now, have you ever heard somebody say the Virgin Mary is in this tree? And people will drive by the day, by the hour, whatever, to take a look at the Virgin Mary in the tree. Well, now he says, don't be soon shaken by stuff like this. That day's not going to come unless there's a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. Now, he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. They're going to have to put that temple up somewhere to make this verse fit. And they'll do it, probably. He's not God, though. Look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or hinders will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, that's the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And you got that in the book of Revelation. The Lord's coming back. That wicked will be revealed and he will be consumed by the spirit of the Lord and he'll destroy him by the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I don't believe a whole lot of signs that people call them. You need to be a little skeptical. If it doesn't fit with the Word of God, if you can check it, and that's why you need to know the book. You need to know the book so that you will not be fooled by some charlatan or some devil. That's what you do. It, and you're too lazy, you're going to watch television, you're going to watch shoes and movies, and you're going to go fishing, and you're going to be ignorant on what's going to happen around you. And don't think you're so smart that you won't be fooled. There's an awful lot of people going to be fooled. And then, verse 8, that shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Wow, are you impressed by magicians? I've been impressed by magicians. How did he saw that girl in two and separate her? You know, how do they get the cards to play the way they want them to play all the time? There are a lot of people out here that can fool you. And magicians do it all the time. Hollywood does it all the time. Even now, I don't think a picture is proper evidence in a court of law because of what they can do with pictures today. It's an amazing thing. Used to, you could do a little bit, but wow. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the camera that's in my phone. I used to have Nikons. I led the Nikon salesman of the area here to the Lord, and he would take and sell me his Nikons at the end of the year after the new ones come out, and I had several very nice cameras, and it took real good pictures. My camera, my phone, I haven't taken a picture with my phone, but my phone takes beautiful pictures. Yours does too. And man, you had to have a real good, nice camera with real good lenses. And how does this little bitty lens measure up? I don't know. But the result is there. Beautiful pictures by your phone. And they can move things in and out. I like that one, an advertisement on television. And shows, you take the picture and your wife's face isn't exactly right. Well, you look down in your thing and you reach over here and this, she's smiling this way, this way, this way, this. You just pick out and you just change it. Man, that destroys evidence as far as I'm concerned. Show me a picture, I don't know whether it's real or not. Anyway, look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that it might be revealed in his time. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's what Paul's saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It was already working. That's 2,000 years ago. Only he who now letteth or hinders will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. What you learn if you look at Revelation a while is that the Antichrist is going to come being, putting himself off as the Christ. Not as the Antichrist, as the Christ. And he's going to have power, he's going to have signs, and he's going to have lying wonders. What can you trust? The book. If you don't know this book, you're set up. If you do know this book, you stand a chance. And the better you know the book, the better the chance you have of not being fooled by some wicked device. I mean, some of these preachers get up and they take a whole group of people with them to an island and they're going to do whatever, and they drink the Kool-Aid and they're all dead. They followed the wrong fella. They didn't follow the Bible. Although I'm sure he used the Bible a lot and whatever, but they didn't know the signs that they ought to have known. Power, all power, signs, lying wonders. because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, the one thing that I'd love to do, I'd love to see anybody that's lost in here to get saved. In my mind, and it's been that way most of my ministry preaching, I'm basically an evangelist, and I've led a few people to the Lord over these years. But you know something? I'm burdened by a lot of people who don't ever get saved. Do you realize that every bit of your pleasure that you have in your life in the past is because you're alive? And do you realize you're going to die? Now, we don't want to think about it, like Solomon said. He said they don't like to go to the house of mourning because that's the end of all. Every one of us is going to die. Just when and how? Well, he's going to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And maybe you don't love the truth as much as you ought to. If you're not reading your Bible like you ought to, you judge yourself. I used to read. I'm a reader anyway, but I used to read the same amount of chapters out of the Old Testament or out of the New. And I went through the Bible many times. And in fact, by the year of 1961, I think I'd read the New Testament 61 times. And I decided to quit counting then. That was when I graduated from college and came back to San Antonio. If you don't read it, you can't understand it. If you don't read it, you don't know the protections that it gives you. Why don't you make up your mind to read the Bible till you understand it for yourself? You can. That's what it was meant for. That is exactly what it was meant for. And you need to be Bible people. You don't have to listen to all the preachers, because some of the preachers are wrong. Not all the preachers that are out there, not all the people that are preaching are doing it according to the Bible. Right. I remember I went to a Pentecostal meeting one time, and he was a famous evangelist, and they said, "All you God-called preachers, get up here on this platform with me." Well, I said, "I'm a God-called preacher." So I got up on the platform with him. I'm sitting there watching while he's doing all his healing and whatever. They run buckets through the crowd three times because they didn't get enough. When's the last time you saw a bucket in this church? You didn't?
Right.
We don't take it that way. There's a box over there. If you want to give, give. And you ought to give. You ought to give generously.
Amen.
And by the way, you have the advantage of supporting which preachers you want to support. Which missionaries you want to support. Wow. You don't get that very many places. Anyway, then shall that wicked be revealed. Verse 8. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 10. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that he might be saved. For this cause, look out. God himself is going after you. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Let you have your way. Look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Paul's writing them. Here's this church, Thessalonians. And he's talking about we're giving thanks to God for you. I tell you what, over my life, I have met some really sweet, blessed Christians, some good preachers, some good ministries, good missionaries, and I love it. I love it. We've got great friends. Tomorrow, Roy Baldwin. I've been friends with him, good friends, for over 60 years. We went to the same high school, but he was 3 years ahead of me. And, but he'd been with me in several churches. He helped me build this one. You know, I thank God for you. We're bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You want to be sanctified and you want to believe the truth. And look at verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's what the gospel is. That's why these guys are out on the streets, passing out tracts and preaching. That's why they were knocking on doors. Back in my day when I was here in town in the ministry, I could preach in front of the Alamo if I wanted to. And I had a PA, I had a 75 watt PA system I put on my pickup and I could blast it and you could see building windows coming up in some of the office buildings. People drive by. At the time I was supporting myself by teaching school and I had some of my students drive by. Ah, Mr. Kincaid, Mr. Kincaid. And you know, we'd get down there and the service men's center was right close to the main post office. And old brother Chisholm would bring two or three of the soldiers or airmen or whatever. And we'd pass out tracts and different ones would preach. And praise God, freedom. Preached in the jails. I preached in lots of jails. We're bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. The word gospel is good news. You know what good news I've got for you? Jesus saves.
Amen.
And you know, you don't have to be good. Not just good people go to heaven. They're going to be a bunch of sorry rascals that got changed. You get called by the gospel. Almost every meeting we have here, we're ready to preach the gospel. Because that's the most important thing. In fact, Jesus compares it to winning the whole world. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Why, the most valuable thing in all the world is your living soul.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's the you that's looking out of those peepers. You. You're not your body. You're not your hair. You're not your clothes. You are that soul, that person, that being that God created inside. And you're looking out and you're living your life. Why not do it God's way? Why not make sure you're on the right track and the path? And the only way you can do that is by studying the Word of God. I had a country church that I pastored while I was going to college. And I had several families in there, grown men, good farmers. They couldn't read. And we had a little offering envelope, and on it you checked off if you had read the scriptures, and some of them could complete everything else, but they couldn't read for themselves. And they asked me, said, "Can we check it if somebody reads it to us?" I said, "Yeah, give yourself 100. There are people out there that don't read. You know, back in this day, there were a lot of people that didn't read. One reason why God probably gave the Bible, the keeping of the Bible to the Jewish nation was because they were believers in reading and education. They educated their people. They weren't ignorant like some of the African tribes or even some of the Indian tribes of here in the United States. No. They had scholars. And they read the Word of God, and they had men copying the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, all year long. Their job was, they had it memorized. And they sit there and they copied. That's how you got a book. What a wonderful thing a book is. Do you realize it?
Right.
Wow, what a wonderful thing a book is. And especially this book. gives you the truth. Stand fast. Look at verse 15. Brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions. I have a real problem with my own government, and I love my government. I'm a patriot. I served my time in the military, and I love the United States. I love the freedom. And the Word of God, I wanted to know what it said. And so after that preacher visited my house, I read the book of Genesis that night, all 50 chapters. And then the first five nights I read the first five books of the Bible. Now, I don't recommend for any of you that's new Christians or that are just starting to learn the Bible to do it as I did it. A normal thing is you start at the first of the book. But I would suggest that you read the Gospel of John, about 21, 22 chapters. That's pages nearly. And the book of Romans, about 10 or 15 times before you get anywhere else. Because of the reason they were written. That you might accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wonderful, wonderful thing. We're bound to thank God always for you. Brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, and you'll find the traditions in the Word of God. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Here's what you get from the Word of God, everlasting consolation. Good hope. That's a good hope, not one going to let you down. And it's grace. Amen. It's not because you deserve it. You don't deserve anything. Right. You may be the best person in this room. You don't deserve heaven.
Right. Amen.
Salvation is a gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's a gift.
Amen.
Nobody deserves it. Verse 17 says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, I love the book of Daniel. And if you want to look at Daniel, you could turn to Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. It's a beautiful book. It's got some great, great miracles in it. Daniel 2:31, thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. What happens is the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And it was a striking dream that really influenced him. But he forgot it. And so he called all of his wise men and said, I dreamed a dream. Now, tell me what my dream was. And they begin to complain. No way we can do that. No king asks anything. Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you all. And so Daniel, these were people that believed in God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel went into the king and told him to ask for a time, and he would get the answer. And he did. And he come back out and he told the image. Now, that's what you have in this chapter here. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was, verse 35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. This great big image, all that valuable iron and gold and silver and whatever, And all of a sudden, this image that comes out of a rock without hands destroys it, and it's like the chaff. You notice the chaff? The winnowing, you throw the wheat into the air, and the wind blows the other parts away. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Wow, that's some dream. Daniel 2:36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. You know, if you got some things, you might realize somebody gave them to you. If you have some talent, you might realize somebody gave it to you. And the king of kings and the God of heaven gave him a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Isn't that interesting? Gold going all the way down to clay in this image that he sees. And he is represented by the head of gold. That's the biggest, best worldly kingdom ever. Wow. He made you rule over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes and the part of potter's clay and the part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And it shall be the strength of the iron and the iron mixed with miry clay. As the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another. Verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of God is going to stand forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Nebuchadnezzar got a message a long time ago. You wouldn't know it unless you read it. You need to read some things like that. You know, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved today. You can be saved right there sitting in that seat. All you have to do is confess your sin, honor Jesus as Lord, the only Savior of the world, your only possibility. You do not have the possibility of living good enough. Nobody. Not your sweetest grandmother. Not your little innocent child. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. What was he doing on that cross? He could have called 72 angels. Yeah, he could have. One angel in the Old Testament slew 185,000 soldiers. One night. He didn't have to die. He died because he was dying for your soul. He made the one perfect, righteous life. And he gave it for you. The gospel is not that you get good and perfect and better or whatever. Jesus is your righteousness. I'm not righteous. Jesus is my righteousness. According to the courts of heaven, Lendell Kincaid is up there and it says, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what you're trusting. That's what you need. And that's what he gave you. And you know, he says in the Bible that one soul is worth more than the whole world. If you were the richest man in the world and lost your soul, would you be a winner? You'd be a loser by big time. Do you realize what eternity is? It blows my mind. God is eternal. God is everlasting. And God has given me, 67 years ago, eternal life. That means it's not going to end. Yes, I'll probably have a funeral for me one of these days. And I'm not in there. I just want you to know that's just this clay that I've been running around with for all these 87 years. But my friend, I don't know what it is that's keeping you from taking Christ as your Savior, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't care what it is, it's not worth it. Eternal life? Man, my 68, I'm going to be 68 for all along. It's gone pretty fast. We're looking from this end. I didn't think I was ever going to grow up or whatever. I was ever going to finish certain things or whatever. No. When you get to look at it from this end, it's just yesterday. You know it is, those that are older. And you're here not taking Christ as your Savior for some reason. That in your mind, it's worth it. It's not. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, God's got a righteousness He wants to give you. God wants to give you forgiveness. God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you understanding. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He's near. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible makes a statement that a lot of people don't like. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's real simple. It's real plain. It's very clear. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save your soul. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank You for so many blessings. We thank You for the Word of God that You've allowed us to come upon. We thank You, Lord, for so great a salvation that You give it as grace. Thank You so much. We appreciate Your love. You teach us what love is. We pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that is not saved, that they would call upon You and get saved. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.